I've explained throughout commentating on the Psalms that these Psalms were all, in my view, written initially by David, but under inspiration, they were rewritten and applied at different times. Now, these Psalms at the end of the Book of Psalms, from, say, 146 onwards, you could really apply quite a few of them to the situation at the time of the Assyrian invasion in Hezekiah's time. And yet, in the Septuagint, Psalm 146, 147, 148 are all attributed to Haggai and Zechariah, who, of course, lived at the time when Judah had returned from captivity, or some of them had returned, and they were supposed to be restoring God's kingdom, but they weren't really getting on with it. And yet, the psalm originally was written by David, and yet then reapplied to Hezekiah's time. And this is the difficulty in reading the Psalms. The text that we now have has been used at different times in different contexts. So you're reading through and you think, yep, that applies to David and his life. Then you think, oh, now that applies to the Hezekiah situation. And then you think, oh, yeah, well, it also could apply at the time of the Restoration. And that's so. It makes interpretation a little bit difficult, but that is the background, I think, to it all. So, for example, in Psalm 146, verse 3, don't put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. Well, the prince who was raised up to deliver Judah was initially Cyrus, who was God's prince, who let the people go. But the lesson is, don't trust in him. Ultimately, it's God who's your salvation, not Cyrus. And then, 146 verse 10, Yahweh will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. This is very much addressed to people in Zion, to the Jews who had returned and were there trying to rebuild Zion. In all these psalms that are attributed to Haggai and Zechariah and the Septuagint, the language is very much of the future day of Zion's glory, as if there was going to be the establishment of God's kingdom at that time. And I think that that was possible, the re-establishment, I should say, of God's kingdom at that time. That was possible. God's purpose is geared like that, so that there were all sorts of points in the history of Israel and Judah when his kingdom could have been re-established on earth under some sort of messianic ruler. But the people at the time failed to live up to the preconditions. They didn't bring about this situation, and so the potential wasn't realized. And this is the tragedy of God's dealings with man and with ourselves also, that so much potential is set up. There were good works ordained from the foundation of the world that you and I should do. Ephesians 2:10 says that. And yet do we do them? God has maybe set up a huge path for us with a lot of significant things that we could be doing, which we don't do for whatever reason. Lack of faith, laziness, inertia, just human inertia, simple as that. Stuck where we are and cotton wool clouds drift across the sky and you sort of think, yeah, well, yeah, each day merges into another. But actually, God has got a far greater plan, if we would perceive it and pray to have our eyes open to it. Well, in Psalm 148, verse 8, it talks about how lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfill his word. And through the voice of Yahweh, we're told that all these things are going to happen, that the natural creation is going to burst out into praise, etc., and that there would be a kind of a new creation. But this is the language used in Isaiah 30 about the salvation of Judah from the Assyrians who were surrounding Jerusalem. Isaiah 30, verse 30, Yahweh will cause his glorious voice to be heard, will show the descent of his arm, with the indignation of his anger and the flame of a devouring fire, with a blast, storm, and hailstones. Well, these are the words used in Psalm 148, verse 8, about hail and flaming fire, or lightning, devouring fire, it's the same word, all sort of bursting forth at the time of the Restoration. So, as I say, I think that in Hezekiah's time, there could have been this restoration of the kingdom. But he let the ball drop. He was given 15 years, he's very grateful to start with, but then he just shrugs and says, well, there'll be peace and truth in my days, it's good enough. And he just slips into the inertia and the mire of mediocrity. And a lot of the restoration prophecies in Isaiah could have come true at his time, but they didn't, because he didn't let them come true. He got caught up with pride, boasting to the Babylonians, etc., and the divine comment is, he did not render again according to the benefit or the grace done unto him. Very tragic. And, okay, so that possibility was dropped. And later, Judah go into captivity, but then they're restored and there's another chance. But that again is wasted at the restoration. Even though these psalms written by Haggai and Zechariah seem to associate the restoration of the kingdom when the Jews returned with the full establishment of God's kingdom on earth. And that could have happened, but it didn't. Well, when you look at your own life, you see all these things very personally. This could have been the path, but you didn't let it happen. So some years later, another opportunity came up, and again we dropped it, and again another, and again we dropped it. It could have been a chance for reconciliation. It could have been at the opportunity to establish a church. It could have been an opportunity to get involved in, I don't know, setting up a soup kitchen or whatever it might be. And we let the ball drop time and time again. And I think we just have to get up every morning and pray earnestly that God will help us to see his way. Make your way plain before my face, David prays, and to give us the strength to say yes, to go where we are led, even if it may seem a bit odd, a bit bizarre at the time, but to go where we are led, because believe me, God is leading. God doesn't want you stuck in the mire of mediocrity. He wants to lead you further. And so on the bigger scale, it will be when finally the kingdom of God is established. There may have been absolutely legitimate opportunities for the kingdom to have been established earlier in human history, even in our lifetimes. There were significant moments in the 20th century when maybe it could have happened, but it didn't, for whatever reason, but it didn't. And so there's a delay, and there's another opportunity. And all we can say is that he that shall come will come, and will not unduly tarry, and for the elect's, the chosen's sake, the days will be shortened. And yet there are these preconditions. When the gospel goes into all the world, then shall the end come. When there is spiritual fruit on the fig tree, then there will be that generation will see the fulfillment of all things. Get out there, preach to Israel, whatever. Do something to hasten it in its time.